This is NFA Talk, the show that talks about guns and gun rights, keeping you up to date with what's currently going on, from the newest guns, promotions, and events, plus how we're lobbying for your rights.
And it's time for another episode of NFA Talk. Tonight I have with me, I have Blair Hagan, our vice president, and I have Jean Charest with us as our special guest. Good evening, guys. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you, Jordan. Hello, Blair.
Good evening. It's great to have you here.
So let's talk firearms.
Okay, Mr. Charest, welcome. Thank you for doing this. Let's get right into it. Since 2016, the Trudeau Liberal government has introduced three measures that directly attack the rights, freedoms, and property of Canadians. Bill C-71, which resurrects long gun registration in Canada. The May 2020 OIC, which intends to confiscate hundreds of thousands of legitimately owned and lawfully acquired firearms from Canadians. And Bill C-21, which intends to do the same to legally owned handguns after a freeze on the transfer or purchase of these firearms, amongst other measures. As Conservative Party leader and Prime Minister, how would you protect the rights, freedoms, and property of Canadians, or would you leave these Liberal civil disarmament measures in place?
Blair, thank you. Well, first of all, thank you for hosting me, and I'm delighted to have an opportunity to talk to both of you and through you to your membership and your audience. And let me start by saying the obvious. And something should be obvious to everyone in this country. The issue on firearms in Canada is illegal handguns in cities and gangs. That's the issue. And that's what the country should focus on. And this is true. And I say this, by the way, my home is in Montreal. It used to be a few years ago that, you know, Montrealers would look down on folks at Toronto because they had shootings and they. Right now, as you know, and regrettably, I don't think there's a day that goes by without us having a shooting in open daylight, by the way. This is open daylight. And it's almost every single day. And it's about gangs. And people here are feeling that their lives are, you know, that they're not secure. That's the issue. And so what I've been proposing in this leadership is that the federal government use its resources to get the RCMP organized around this, put together a special unit, work with other police forces in the country to stop the illegal smuggling of these handguns, illegal handguns, and get that under control. That's what the country should be focused on, not hunters, not farmers, not people who are law-abiding citizens who are already regulated to the hilt, and that we address that problem. Now, and by the way, I am a hunter. I don't own a firearm, but I'm a hunter, and I've enjoyed hunting for the last few years. Now, there's, you know, my position on what we have now is that the Trudeau government proposed, for obvious political reasons, this OIC in 2020 that you referred to, Blair, about assault weapons, or what apparent assault weapons, or what the exact word is.
Military style, as they call
military
it.
Military style. I mean, you know, so, and what, let me get a bit ahead of the discussion here. Baiting conservatives on this issue. We're going to talk to ourselves very frankly. Liberals get in trouble in an election campaign. You know what they do? They trot out something on gun control, or what they call it. That's what they do. And too often, conservatives have played to script. So this is what Mr. Trudeau is doing. And I intend to call him out on it, by the way, on this. And I think we have to say that to Canadians. You know, this guy, or whether him or someone else, that's what they're going to do. They're going to do that. I mean, this is as predictable as the sun comes up in the morning. And make sure that everyone understands what's going on. And this OIC, and I think it's what other candidates say, we'd have it reviewed by a panel of experts, independent experts, who will narrow it down to what it is, if there is, assault style weapons or assault weapons. We already have restrictions on what I understand on five clips and what should be allowed. I mean, we've gone through all these debates. So that's that's where I would be on this. And I certainly wouldn't allow us and allow you and the folks that you speak for and are members of the NFA to be dragged into another debate that will allow the liberals to be in government for another mandate to only further restrict you at the first opportunity they'll have and politicize this debate. And I'm sorry to be so long, but Blair, you know, some people are a little skeptical about this. Were the liberals really politicized? Well, you know, the Lukey episode, you know, if there were doubts, I think there's no doubt in any one reasonable person's mind now that this liberal government has been politicizing this issue to their own benefit. And I regret that because it's bad for the country and it just further divides people by introducing this confusion that is just, you know, further divisive between rural Canadians and urban Canadians. Thank you. I'm sorry, Blair, to be so long, but
no, you know. Not at all. And we certainly saw that in the last election campaign. And unfortunately, the leader at the time was not circumspect enough to understand what the Liberal Party was doing. We have the same concerns with public safety where I'm at here in Vancouver. We are one of the most highly regulated countries in the Western world when it comes to firearms and have been for many, many years. Yet we still have the problem of criminal gang violence. And a lot of Canadians are asking, why did we sacrifice our rights and freedoms at the altar of gun control? Why did we sacrifice our property over these many years when we still have the same problems? They're still manifesting themselves, and in some cases are even worse. What has it all been for? Certainly Canada's highly restrictive gun control laws haven't affected that. And a lot of people are very concerned about that. I know you know this. We are looking for a different road, a road that respects the rights and property of Canadians, attacks the true source of crime, the true source of tragedies. That's not happening now, and it has not been for many years. Would you agree?
Well, I would agree. You know, and Blair, I mean, that's why we need to change. Conservatives need to be, we need to be smart about this and change the discourse. And I like what you've said and be very straight with Canadians and say, folks, you know, let's be clear about what's happening here. The Liberals are trotting this issue out because they want to, you know, further divide and create confusion and win votes. There's an issue here we all agree on. Rural, urban, all of us who are legitimate owners of guns. We have a problem with illegal handguns in cities or firearms or other. That's the issue. That's what we need to focus on. Now, leave the other gun owners, frankly, you know, they're perfectly willing to respect laws and they are law-abiding citizens. There's no need to get back, you know, to get on their back again. That's not the issue here. And I'd feel very comfortable as someone who's been in government to do that. And I've been through the process a few times. Let's be, you know, a lot of folks listening here know, probably know the story. I was in government in 1997 campaign, when the Chrétien government brought out the registry, put it in New Brunswick. And we opposed it at the time. This was Elsie Wayne and myself, Blair. And it's not as though there was an army of us out there. We were rebuilding the Progressive Conservative Party at the time from 2 up to 20. And we opposed it. And, you know, our instinct was right. We said, you know, this is going to cost a fortune for not a lot of outcomes or results. And that's what it ended up being. It was a change in government. The Harper government was elected. They rightfully came in. Now, when I was Premier of Quebec, this is around 2010, my police forces said to me, when Mr. Harper was dismantling the gun registry, they said, listen, the information's there. We'd like to be able to secure that information. We think it can be useful to us. And I, as Premier, said, fine, okay. So that's what we did. And that was what our position was. We weren't trying to further regulate anyone, but that's, we thought that was common sense since all of that money had been spent and that part of the registry was there. Now, the Harper government disagreed at the time. They said, no, we're dismantling. I can understand their view. They had said to their constituents and the folks that they asked support from and they formed the government, they said, we're going to dismantle the registry. We're not going to dismantle part of it. We're going to dismantle it. And they went ahead and did it. So that's been my story on this.
Yes, and many Quebecers and many Canadians disagreed with that. Quebec having its own provincial registry for not only reasons, the fact that they just don't work, they are an incredible waste of money and they target the law abiding, but the fact of impending confiscation, which is apparently happening today, using those registries to target farms owners, target their farms, their property for confiscation. And is that not a danger when you're dealing with any kind of registry?
Well, it is a danger, and people should not be criminalized because of their, you know, for example, there's an expiry on registration. It just, you know, you have to think of the wisdom of doing that on behalf of a government and the irritation it creates, the frustration it creates, and the division it creates when it's not necessary to do that, when it is not necessary to do that. It's one thing you learn from experience in being in government, and I'm a conservative. Been a conservative all my life. I believe in institutions, but I also believe that at the end of the day, you don't intervene if you don't have to intervene. I mean, government, it's not government's job to stick their nose into everything. If it's the question, is it necessary to do this? Does it serve a purpose? Does it, well, if it doesn't, then you don't intervene. And now, so, by the way, then it all brings us back to what the real issue is. It's security. Want people to be secure, and if there's a, what's the security issue here? It's violence in cities. That's the issue.
Now, communications from your campaign have made reference to having a panel to review farms classifications. Yeah. Would that panel include representatives from Canadian farms industry, owners, and users groups?
Oh, I'm very open to the panel. I'm thinking, you know, the first idea that comes to mind, Blair, on the panel staff. But first of all, to take it out of the hands of politicians, of, you know, people who have political agendas. And now we know, you know, you can be on any side of the debate right now. I think it's reasonable for us to say to Canadians, listen, this has been politicized. This has been a political football. We have to stop dealing it with that way and call that out. So the idea of the panel, Blair, is to say we're going to take it out of their hands. Put it in the hands of people who are going to look at this with a clear eye and not with any specific agenda. I'd be ready to put into a panel of experts, folks who are very involved in the industry and on all sides. At the end of the day, the government will decide. But, you know, it's like all things. If you put together this panel, you get into it. The idea of doing this, I can tell you that the idea at the outset isn't to try to regulate more. It's to make sure that you make good common sense decisions and move this issue off of the political football category, and that we stop encouraging liberals to sucker punch other political parties with this and mislead Canadians on what the real issues are, and then actually focus on the real stuff and the real problem.
Yes. As Premier of Quebec, not only were you present in 2012 at the ending of the federal long gun registry and the coming forward of the Quebec long gun registry, but also in 2007, as Premier, you imposed Bill 9, the anesthesia law, which basically imposed a new provincial level of regulation and bureaucracy on licensed firearms owners in that province. Do you still view these measures as appropriate, or have you had any change of heart or mind on legislating and imposing these kinds of regulations on the rights and property of Canadians?
Well, Blair, you know, anesthesia law was brought in after the incident at Dawson College. Anesthesia is the young lady who lost her life. And at the time, I think it was justified. At the time, we wanted to have a better grip on what the issue was and how we are able to offer security. Remember, Quebec also, this debate has a different color in every part of the country, depending on experiences. The experience or the regrettable tragedy of 1989 at the École Polytechnique is something that is very vivid in the mind of Quebecers. So that's why, you know, we're a very decentralized federation. People have a different views on how much we want to or how we want to deal with this issue. And as a provincial premier, that's what I reflected in the legislation that I brought forward.
Yeah, you mentioned L'École Polytechnique. In 1991, you were a member of a PC government that imposed Bill C-17, legislation that negatively affected the rights and property of Canadians and was later expanded on by the following Liberal government in 1995, Bill C-68, the infamous Long Gun Registry. Same question. Do you still view these measures as appropriate, or have you had any change of heart or mind on this type of legislating and regulation on the rights and property of Canadians nationwide?
Well, the legislation has been tested. The Long Gun Registry, as we know, as went through the changes that the Harper government brought in. I think, you know, we went through the experience of doing all of that and where we are now. So where we are now, I think, speaks to the cumulative experience of these laws and what we've been through. I'm not proposing to add anything more, and I would do the review of the OIC. I think we need to draw the lessons from what we did in good faith and reaction to the events that were there at the time, always with the same view of ensuring the security of Canadians. But now we have the cumulative effect and experience of what these laws have or have not been able to accomplish. And I would, I'd return to what our position has been, that we'd review the OIC and we'd focus on illegal handguns in cities.
Absolutely.
Is there anything else that you want to say to the Canadians who believe in rights and freedoms who view this program?
Well, I'm here because I have a lot of respect for those of you and those who are members of your association and feel very strongly about this issue. And I'm also here because, as you mentioned, I happen to have the benefit of having that experience of going through those changes, the events that led to people wanting to make changes to law, testing them and seeing them. And I've been through all of that, which leads me to where we are today. As I mentioned earlier, it's quite clear now how the Liberals have used these laws more recently to divide us further. My position and the plea that I make to you is that let's benefit from that cumulative experience that we've had, look at what we did right and what we did that wasn't as effective as it should have been. And the Long Gun Registry, as you point out, was not effective, extremely costly, did not deliver the results it was supposed to deliver. So let's recognize that and have the maturity to recognize that and then do the right thing. And doing the right things means a review of the OIC and then allowing, respecting law-abiding citizens and then dealing with the real criminals. That's where we're at. That's how I see it. And that is something you count on. I mean, if I become leader of this party, I'm not going to change my mind. I mean, there's not going to be. We've been through it all. You know where I stand. You know what my story is. I present myself as I am, but it's a very reliable position. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us tonight and explaining to the firearms community your position. And good luck come September.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And I hope that all of your members will be out there voting. And I look forward to working with you when I'm in government.
Thank you. That's for being awesome. Here.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right. Have a good night, sir.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. So that was great for Jean to come on and talk to the firearms community.
Well, and that's what we're doing in this series of NFA talks, giving conservative leadership candidates the ability to come on, talk directly to the firearms community. We've had Dr. Leslie Lewis. We will have Roman Babber. We have had John Charest, and hopefully we will have the other candidates as well, because this is the forum they need to be in.
Yeah. So, I mean, with what they're doing right now and going out, scheduling has been a little bit difficult. So hopefully we can have the rest of them on the show at some point so they can speak to the firearms community and tell their side of the story, right?
Well, how long do we have left in the segment?
Well, I see that Rick is coming into the stream, so maybe we'll go on for an extra few minutes tonight.
Rick. Hey, guys.
How you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Thanks for jumping in.
I just watched the segment, and there's no surprises there for me.
Do we want to take any questions or comments from the audience?
Yeah, sure. Let's do it.
Right. Well, I mean, we had a lot of comments talking about repeal. I mean, so, you know, I think...
Well, Mr. Charest had the opportunity to address it exactly the way he wanted to. I think he did. I think everyone knows the position of NFA is the complete repeal and replacement of all of this. If Mr. Charest wanted to use those words, he certainly had the opportunity to do so. It is what it is.
Yep. You know, it's like you mentioned earlier, Blair. You know, we're interviewing all the candidates and letting them say their piece and we're going to let people make up their own minds. And I think Mr. Charest made up a lot of people's minds tonight. You know, just. Mr. Charest was the first one that didn't have a direct answer. And I appreciate what he had to say, but he didn't have a direct answer for us on whether or not he was going to repeal the OIC.
And that is a fact. I mean, the OIC, is completely and totally unacceptable in every facet of it. It was not brought in for public safety purposes, period. Yeah. And therefore, it must be repealed. It must be replaced by an order in council, basically nullifying it. That's the stance of NFA. There was no demand for this from any quarter of law enforcement. This was purely an invention of the Liberal government. So, I give a lot of candidates, politicians, benefit of the doubt. A lot of them are not familiar with the firearms issue. They're not familiar with firearms law regulation, even as it stands today in Canada. But the fact of the matter is either you recognize that we are at a point in this country where we have been so heavily regulated, our rights and freedoms have been so negatively affected, and for what? There has been no benefit. We are on the wrong road, and now it is time to change lanes to one that actually targets, like he alluded to, criminal gangs, criminal misuse of guns. Everyone knows this Liberal government is very soft on crime. My God, they even ended mandatory sentencing for gun crimes in favor of heaping more confiscatory legislation and regulation on gun owners. But, you know, at what speed do you do that? Full speed ahead like the Liberals or half speed like governments of the past?
Yeah. You know, just reading the comments there, you know, the comments are pretty much self-explanatory. Where people are at. So,
but if Mr. Charest were to move forward as the party leader and move forward as the prime minister, he did say that he's willing to talk with us and he is willing to learn as well. So,
well, yeah, I don't think he has a choice at this point. Certainly, in the Conservative Party as it stands today, a lot of great MPs, a lot of great people who understand the issue. We do. In detail. So I think we're blessed that way. Regardless of who becomes leader, I think there are people in that party who will do the right thing, do understand the issue, and we can move forward on a new legislative path. But it's going to take the pressure of everybody who believes in rights and freedoms. Yeah. You know, not just if you own a firearm, not just if you own an AR-15 or a handgun or something like that. Everyone who believes in rights and freedoms. And I know we have a lot of friends who do not own firearms and have no interest in doing so, who support us. And yes, that's very, very important in this issue in Canada.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? And the NFA has given all the candidates this open forum to come out and say their piece, and kudos to them for doing that. Like I said before, we're going to let people make up their own minds and vote on the candidate's position.
I know a lot of people, we're saying, why are you having Sean Charest on, given his history with this issue over the years? And, you know, look, I mean, this is a national forum. We have a conservative leadership campaign going on right now. All of those candidates deserve to say their piece, to communicate with firearms owners and others who believe in rights and freedoms, including Sean Charest, despite his history on this issue in the past. And you need to hear where he's at on this issue now. And if he satisfied your concerns, fine. If he did not, well, there you are.
Yeah.
but he had his say.
Yeah. And if you're not satisfied or you have further questions, email his campaign, get the answers that you need. You know, I'm sure they will respond to you and they'll let us know too. You know, if you get a response, we'd love to hear it.
Yeah.
Just looking at some of the comments, invite Trudeau on the show.
On behalf of Canada's National Firearms Association, I invite Justin Trudeau on NFA Talk.
Yeah, I don't see that happening. then again, I mean, you know, he's out traveling the country with doing photo ops and visiting all the different MPs. I think he was actually just in Toronto. I've seen a picture, and he's got a new hairdo going on. Eh? I don't know if you guys have seen that or not.
Yeah. It's funny. It almost looks like there's an election looming because he sure is on the road.
And you know, when Justin's government is defeated, and the inevitable Liberal leadership campaign comes up, we'll invite those candidates too.
Yeah, absolutely. We want to hear from everybody, and we want our people to make up their minds.
Absolutely. You know,
we want Canadian firearms owners and Canadians to make up their minds on what these people have to say on our forum.
And this issue includes Liberals, NDP, everybody, because it's not just Conservatives who own guns. It's not just Independents who own guns. There are a heck of a lot of Liberals and NDP who own guns. They need to be part of the dialogue on this issue. They need to be active in their parties, advocating for the rights and freedoms of Canadians to celebrate this Canadian right and Canadian right and cultural tradition. They need to do that. But we don't want to limit this or pigeonhole this or only talk to the people we know or we like or we approve of. That's not what we're here to do. We're here to talk about the issue, communicate ideas, and let them know that we are very, very serious about advancing the rights and freedoms of Canadians politically from coast to coast.
Yes.
Yes. No. And it's always been an open invitation. We've sent out invitations. I'd love to talk to somebody that doesn't. Let's have a debate on the show, right? Let's talk to Marco Mendocino or Bill Blair. Come on the show. Let's talk. You know, let's have a debate. NFA debate, right? I'd love to get engaged in that.
Yeah. That's what we're here for. I mean, you know, we are part of the public discourse in Canada today. We're not going away. It's strange. Mr. Charest alluded to, hey, let's depoliticize this. Let's get this back on public safety. And, you know, and I understand why he might say that, but it's never going to be that way again. We're going to be here guarding, defending, and advancing the rights and freedoms of Canadians. And we're not going to quit until firearms legislation does the same. Okay. Yeah, but we've got a long road. I mean, you know, we've got like 40 years of regulatory and legislative excess to correct here. So this is going to go on for a while. Even when we're victorious, we're going to have to keep going.
No, absolutely. I mean, you know, it seems that you switch government, we go on defense. We switch government, we go on offense. It's back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, right? And
Former President Sheldon Clare in the comments section.
Yes, he's been commenting. He's been active. hi, Sheldon. No, I mean, like, it's, if we've been doing this back and forth with gun control for a very long time now. And I really wish that they would focus on something else and leave this out, right? Let's focus. You know, we're just coming out of a pandemic. We've got a lot of other stuff to focus on. We have an opioid problem in Canada. We have we're possibly heading into a recession because of the spending that we've been doing. There's many things that we have to worry about, and like this Jordan, is not one of them.
Jordan, who's responsible for all of that?
Well,
and how do you deflect the attention of Canadians away from that with nice, fancy, shiny things like gun control?
Yeah,
well, exactly. Let's scapegoat them, right? So that's exactly what it is.
Hey guys,
so,
you know we're the go-to. We're the go-to when things start to go bad for them. We seem to be the first target on the go-to when they have nothing else.
How do you know?
And I'll say it again.
How do you know when a Liberal government is desperate? They start pounding. They start pounding the gun control drums.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah, but you know what? The thing is with us, we're going to hold whoever makes the next government accountable. And whether it's the conservatives or by some chance the liberals get back in, we're going to hold them accountable because what they're doing is not right. You know, with these bills, and you know, it's a direct assault on firearms owners across Canada. And we at the NFA have had enough of it. We've had enough of it for a lot of years, but we're going to move forward and do everything we can to stop this, or at least slow it down, or in a perfect world, stop it and get things back to somewhat normal.
Yeah, no, I mean, this is a long, far-reaching issue. You know, our replacements are going to be talking about this 20 years from now, and yeah. And hopefully we've laid the groundwork for them to have better laws, better legislation, and a better political environment. And I think we're going to do that. I mean, if you look at this conservative leadership campaign, the quality of the candidates, certainly the dialogue on firearms is a lot more advanced and a lot more intuitive than it was certainly in the previous campaign, when all they were addressing was I believe C-71. Now we've actually got the threat of confiscation and that sort of thing, and you know, I'm pleased that all of the candidates have come out and said that they will not tolerate that, or at least don't agree with it. And there's varying degrees of that, various ways that they address it, but I think we can all be rest assured that the candidates understand the firearms issue better than they ever have before.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so I mean, so in many public speakings, Minister Mendocino has said, you know, they plan on starting the, you know, buyback program, which I don't like how they, you know, you might as well just call it confiscation, but hey, program by the end of this year. So, I mean, they're working really hard. I see there was an access to information, and they really don't know what they're doing, and they're asking for advice. And you know what? Anybody in the firearms community, anybody with a business, any kind of stakeholders, don't help them take our stuff.
No, please, know. Please don't help them. Don't give them advice. Don't help them out. You know, this is there's nothing to be gained by helping the Liberal government take our guns, wherever you sit in the spectrum in the firearms world.
I don't see that as being a problem. I think we're united in our opposition to this. I mm-hmm. believe that we're all working towards the same goals. And we have political and legal solutions to this. And that's the most important part. I remember 1995, and there were no political or legal solutions. I mean, it was a totally different country. The parliament, my God, Liberal majority government, massive majority, no opposition in Ottawa. The opposition was the Bloc Quebecois, and certainly no way of stopping that legislation. Today it's different. We've got all kinds of alternatives, all kinds of legal and political solutions. So I'm confident that we are going to stop this. We will elect a government that respects the rights and property of Canadians, and we're going to get back on the road to firearms law reform.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yes, we will. Yeah. And that'd be great. That'd be great, because then we can start spending some more time at the range.
Exactly. Yeah. I want to apologize to everybody because my shirt's kind of really sketchy looking, but I thought I'd wear my NFA Tactimoose shirt tonight.
And, well, there you go.
Yeah. So, but sorry that the color's off on it.
We're not able to keep that one on the shelf. And at all the firearms shows, which are very absent right now, we were never able to keep them on in our booth, right? People just love that shirt.
But if you do like the shirt, you can certainly visit the NFA store, www.nfa.ca, and view the other wide selection of merchandise that we have available.
Yeah, exactly. And I like the wording on it myself. Stand your ground, because that's what the NFA does. We stand our ground.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So, what else we have going on? So we have Roman Baber will be airing tomorrow night. It was a pre-record, unfortunately, because of scheduling issues. Like everybody is super busy, so we respect that. We were able to get him in a time when we didn't think it would be worthwhile going live, because nobody would be watching us. So we did a pre-record on that one. And you know, with NFA Talk, that's one thing we love, the live and unscripted part, but sometimes it just doesn't fall into place. So, you know, the odd time we're going to get it, it is what it is, but, you know, y'all should look forward to, to seeing what Roman has to say, and then we're still looking to schedule the other ones as well. So,
And you know, if some of these candidates are not going to win the leadership of the Conservative Party, you should tune in and listen anyways, because there's a lot of positioning going on. They will be part of the Canadian political scene going into the future. They need to be aware of this issue, and you need to hear what they think so you can make decisions.
Yeah,
absolutely. Another quick reminder, you're voting, your ballots. If you haven't filled it out, fill them out. They do have to be in before September 6th. Am I right, guys?
Yep.
So, you know, pick your first choice, your second choice. You don't have to pick everyone if you don't want to. It's your choice, but make sure that you fill them out. I'm going to be filling mine out shortly and throwing it in the mail. So
yeah. There is some confusion on that. I actually messed mine up and had to get another one, but there is some confusion. Just pick your first and your second choice, and make sure you don't none of the columns line up with dots, and then it's good. So,
if I could follow those instructions, anybody can.
Yeah,
I think, in looking at the comments, it's pretty apparent that a lot of NFA members and others who are joining us tonight are Conservative Party members and voting in this contest. So,
I've seen a lot of posts already saying that they voted, but you know, that's great. So, I'm looking forward to September 10th. You know, that's the weekend of TACCOM. So, yes. We're going to be at TACCOM. NFA will be at TACCOM. So it's going to be kind of like, we're going to have two things going on, right? So we're going to find out who our new conservative leader is, and we're going to be at the show that weekend. And I believe we're going to do a live NFA talk from TACCOM too. So that's going to be exciting.
Yeah. Come out and meet us. You know, we're going to have a bunch of directors there. I'm going to be there. Jordan's going to be there. Just come out and meet us. We're just like you. We're just shooters that are fighting for our rights. We're just down to earth people. Come, we'll be glad to talk to anybody that wants to speak to us. So just come out and I'll be glad to answer any questions there. And so will the rest of the board of directors. We might, if you have any questions, just come out and see us at TACCOM. We've got a fair sized booth, so lots of room for everybody. Come out, one and all. Yeah.
Right. All right. So I think we're going to wrap it up tonight. Again, Mr. Charay, thank you for joining us. If maybe, I don't know if he was busy, so he might still be listening. But if not, he might see this. Thank you. Thank you again for joining us. Rick, thanks for jumping in there. And Blair, it's been great chatting. And we'll see you all next time.
Okay.
See you, everybody.
Good night.
Thanks for listening to this episode of NFA Talk. Like and follow the NFA on social media and sign up to become a member.